can search all of this life and never understand why the storms and all the strife seems unguarded by God's hand. Raise your weary head and lift your tired eyes. Christ has conquered death, and he listens when you cry. There's no valley, there's no place, there's no danger you must face alone. For he walks with you and cries your tears before you do. He is there, he is here, don't you fear. His word will be your light, his voice will be your guide. His hands will give you strength with his spirit by your side. Raise your weary head and lift your tired eyes. Christ has conquered death, and he listens when you cry. There's no valley, there's no place, there's no danger you must face alone. For he walks with you and cries your tears before you do. He is there, he is here, don't you fear. Why are you cast down, my soul? And why have you no song? Hope thou in God, he is your tower strong. God is my salvation strength, and he is now my song. Hope thou in God, he is your tower strong. There's no valley, there's no place, there's no danger you must face alone. For he walks with you and cries your tears before you do. He is there, he is here, don't you fear. And there's no valley, there's no place, nowhere that's beyond his grace. Be strong, for he walks with you and knows your steps before you do. He is there, he is here, don't you fear. He is there, he is here, don't you fear.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bierman. Let's take our Bibles this morning, and if you would go to almost to the very end of God's Word, to the little book of 3 John. Now, we're not speaking of the gospel according to John, but the third epistle of John, almost to the book of Revelation. If you find Revelation, you're probably pretty much there, all right? Just turn back a page. The book of 3 John. Now, for many weeks in our church, ever since the beginning of the year, I've been speaking on going forward by faith. And I've talked about many different things, going forward by faith with our church attendance and forward by faith in God's Word, and last week, forward by faith in holiness. But today I want to preach to you on going forward by faith in missions. Now, what is missions? What is missions all about? Well, can I simply tell you, missions is about his mission that he has given to us. You see, we have a mission from God. We often classify people that, like next week, will be coming to our church, we say they are missionaries. But do you know that in a real sense, every one of us this morning, we are missionaries? You know why? Because He has given us His mission. Now, what is His mission? Well, we know that with nail-pierced hands, Jesus Christ gave what we call the Great Commission. That's what He has commanded us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that is His mission, but it's the mission that God has given to us. And if we are going to move forward by faith in 2024, we must recognize and know what is His mission that He has given to us. Now, this coming Sunday, we begin what we call our missions conference. Now, why do we do that? Well, can I tell you why? It's because we want to place the emphasis at Grace Baptist Church where God places the emphasis. And the emphasis is to get the gospel to every creature. Now, brethren, let's remember something. We all can become so self-centered and so self-consumed that we neglect His mission. By the way, do we not live in a world today? In fact, the Bible says that men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know, in fact, often we do not have room to love other people because we love ourselves so much. You know, it's kind of like marriage. I think many men feel this way, or maybe many women feel this way, that if my spouse loved me as much as I love myself, we would have a great marriage. Well, brethren, that will never work because God has commanded us to love others with His love, a sacrificial love. And when we come to the subject of missions, it is about understanding that life and the world does not revolve around us. It is about His mission. Let's begin in 3 John, verse number 1. And we're going to read this entire chapter or this entire book. We're going to read a whole book of the Bible this morning. It's 14 verses, all right? So here we go. 3 John, verse number 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Would you look at that word truth? You're going to find it quite a bit. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sword, thou shalt do well. Because that for His name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name. Now I want you to notice a passage of Scripture that we find in verse number 8. Would you notice it? The Bible says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now, brethren, this morning, if you know the truth and you have received the truth, you have acted upon the truth, you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, brethren, you ought to be thankful for the truth this morning. But if we have received the truth, then God expects of us, God commands of us now to give out the truth. In fact, I love this phrase. I don't think this could be a better phrase on what we are to do as a church, what you are to do as God's people. In verse 8, we are to be fellow helpers to the truth. Now look, many of you are not called to be a missionary in the sense of to go to a foreign field. God may not call you to do that. Now, if He does, that'd be a wonderful blessing. God may not call you to be a pastor, to preach. God may not call you to teach a Sunday school class. And I think sometimes we have the ideal that, okay, you know, I have my place, and we all have our place. But can I tell you what we all are called upon God to do? We are fellow helpers to the truth. That's what God has called us to do. We are to be concerned about the truth. In fact, do you know that the church is to be the pillar and ground of the what? Truth. This is where you are to find the truth. I had a man that called me recently, and he's never been to our church before, but he was seeking the truth. I met with him yesterday in my office for a long time, sharing the truth with him. And you know something? I believe there are people everywhere that want to know the truth, but because we live in a world of deceit, a world of lies, and the father of lies, who is the devil, is blinding the minds of them which believe not, because he doesn't want them to know the truth of the gospel. We should be fellow helpers of the truth. We should be ready to give the truth. We should speak the truth in love, is what the Bible tells us. But this morning, I want us as a church, I want us as individuals to go forward by faith in our missions. Number one, I want you to notice our priority. Now, do you know that every one of us here today, we have certain priorities? You know what a priority is? It's something that's important to you. It's something that you will give yourself to. You're going to make time for what is important to you, what you consider a priority. In fact, we are in an election year, all right? And boy, we're going to hear all kinds of things about candidates' priorities. In fact, they want to know what is important to American people. And I recently read that to most Americans, the economy is the number one priority to them. Well, can I simply tell you today, to the child of God, our priority must be His priority. Amen. That is very important to understand. Do you know, in fact, in America alone, do you know how much Americans spend on their pets in a year? Collectively, $60 billion is spent on pets collectively in America. In fact, let me say this to you. I think it is sad, especially for a Christian in America, that they would give more priority to something that has no eternal value than that which has eternal value. It would be sad as an American Christian that we spend more time and emphasis on things that have no eternal value, and we forget about the one priority that God has given to us. That is His priority. In fact, brethren, the greatest business in all the world is getting the gospel to every creature. That is priority number one. And if we miss that priority, we have missed it all. In fact, do you know in our world today that we are living in a world that is right over 8 billion people? That is the population of the world today. And obviously, it continues to grow. But can I tell you a staggering statistic? And they tell us that 2/3 of the world's population has never even heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brethren, think about that just for a minute. That is close to 6 billion people that have never even heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brethren, that is God's priority number one, is that we take His mission to this lost and dying world. But I fear that we have become so consumed, and listen, I'm preaching to myself today, that we have become so consumed with things that really have no eternal value, that we have forgotten the one thing that has most value and most priority, and that is giving the gospel. Now, we're coming on this missions conference, and a part of the missions conference is that we as a church should be giving to foreign missions. Now, I believe that God commands the tithe. We know that the tithe is 10% of our gross income. The Bible clearly teaches. And if a Christian is not giving their tithe, they are robbing God and they are sinning against God's blessing upon their life. They really are. And let me tell you this, you will never grow as a Christian if you are not honoring God with what belongs to Him. He said that 10% belongs to the Lord. And by the way, you'll never get ahead in life if you rob God of what really belongs to Him. Now, we believe that the Bible teaches the tithe, but when it comes to giving to missions, that's above the tithe. And I would encourage every Christian here today and listening to me as I am preaching right now, that every Christian ought to have a part in giving to missions. Now, our church believes, and I believe is a biblical principle, in what we call faith promise giving. You say, well, preacher, what is that? Well, faith promise. Let's look at the words. Faith. By faith, we promise God that we will give a certain amount every week, whatever He puts on our heart, to give above our tithe to faith promise giving. And by the way, we are faithing God. We are trusting God to provide us what we have made a covenant with Him to give. Now, many of you give to Faith Promise Giving. In fact, can I tell you this? In the last few years, our missions giving in our church has tripled. Now, praise be to God for that. And thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. But folks, I believe that we can do more for Jesus Christ. We can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, you know, it's an amazing thing to think that often the one thing that God has given us to do has often become the area of our greatest neglect. Let's take our Bibles, if you would please, and go back to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I want you to notice something very important here. Now, from Genesis to Revelation, priority number one for God's people is to make our God known to this entire world. And I believe this, church, I believe this with all my heart. The smell of death is upon any church that is going to ignore God's priority. The smell of death. In fact, let's just close the doors to our church if we are not going to be a fellow helper to the truth. Because we have ceased our existence. I mean, listen, we are not doing what God has given us to do. Church is not a place where we just come and fellowship. That's a good part of church. But that's not the whole reason. Church is not a place where we come and hear good messages. No, church is a place where we come and we get our instructions from God's Word and we go out and do what God has given us to do. We go out and live as husbands. We go out and live as wives, as God has commanded us. We live as children, as God has commanded us. We honor God in our workplaces and we live lives of integrity and honesty. But we are concerned about the lost and dying all around us. You see, I believe the smell of death. God has blessed Grace Baptist Church. But can I tell you why I believe the number one reason that God has blessed this church is because we care about the lost. And if we are not going as a church to continue to grow in our mission giving, because we've got to get missionaries to the foreign fields. By the way, Brother Armacost, mom and dad, in their 50s, left just a few weeks ago to go to Myanmar. And by the way, Myanmar is a place of great unrest right now. When I was in India, there were actually from students and pastors from Myanmar. They actually had a pastor there that traveled from Myanmar to get to that conference. And you know something? I thought to myself, we have got to get the gospel to the regions beyond us. But how is that going to happen? It's going to happen with God's people giving to missions so that we can send missionaries to those foreign fields. And they need our help. And by the way, do you know that every dime that we give to God's work is laying up treasure in heaven? By the way, today, it would be a great tragedy if maybe you were to have some terrible financial loss, maybe a house burned down. We have a family that has recently experienced that. And boy, you talk about a loss. You talk about something that is really hard to deal with. But brethren, are we more concerned about losing earthly things, or are we more concerned about losing spiritual things? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Do you know you can lose earthly treasure and you can gain that back, but brethren, are we concerned about losing heavenly treasure? Because when we are not obedient to God in the matter of being a fellow helper to the truth, we are losing spiritual rewards. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I want to look at what it says in verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, who is the foundation? Jesus. Let's read on. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. That's one category. And then look at the other category, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, brethren, do you know that there is coming a day that God tells us that we must all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? And guess what? I am not going to stand before the Lord and give an account of my sin, because praise be to God, my sin was paid for at Calvary. It is. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. But I will stand before God and I will give an account. I will give an account of my opportunity. No two people's opportunity is the same. I will give an account of my ability, because no two people's ability is the same. And I will give an account of the truth that God has given to me. What did I do with the truth? And by the way, I don't want my works just to be burnt up. Listen, many of the things that we do are just wood, hay, and stubble. They're just temporary. And when it's placed into the fire of God's judgment, can I tell you, it will be burnt up. But that which we did for Jesus Christ, all of our giving to Faith Promise, all of our witnessing, all of our labor done for His sake and done in His name, will be that which remains, a spiritual reward. Brethren, I'll tell you this. There's coming a day that I think every one of us, we will say, as the hymn writer said, by and by, when I look on His face, I wish I had given Him what? More. Do you really think that we will stand before God one day and say, boy, I wish I hadn't given so much to missions? No, that'll never happen. But I do think we'll think, I wish I had been obedient to God and given to missions. I wish I had told that neighbor about Jesus Christ. I wish that I had lived my life for that which remains, that which is eternal, not temporary. We get so consumed with the temporary, with what we can see with our eyes, that we forget that we are going to live for all of eternity, not here, but in heaven as children of God. Oh, may God help us to understand our priority. Brethren, who should participate in Faith Promise giving? Every child of God. And by the way, when we lose our perspective on the lost world around us, we lose the very purpose of our existence as God's people. You know that everything we have on earth, will be lost one day. Did you know that? Everything. I mean, brethren, everything is going to be burnt up one day. We thank God for the houses and the lands and all the material blessings that He has given to us. We have a beautiful church. Aren't you thankful that we have a beautiful place to worship the Lord? But I'm going to tell you something, it's not going to last. You know, that's why we have to keep painting and remodeling and all that. Because everything on earth is going to be burned up one day. And if you give your life to that which is not going to last, you have wasted your life. Oh, how many Christians have wasted their lives. I do not want to waste my life. I want to spend it for Jesus Christ. And brethren, it is so easy for us to grieve over the loss of material things. But if we only knew the great eternal rewards that we are losing because of our lack of faithfulness and obedience to the calls of Christ, I believe that our hearts would be grieved much more. You know, I just returned, and in fact, just a week ago yesterday, I returned from India, my son and I both, and we crossed 10 time zones is what we crossed, and they tell us it takes a day per crossing time zone to recover, so I guess I got 3 more days left, all right, I guess. But I'll tell you something, I cannot get it out of my mind what I saw there. Millions of people lost in their sin, and can I tell you, deceived. I saw you could buy little gods, little idols everywhere. You could buy it in the airport in India. You could buy it when we taxi drivers would pick us up. They would have a little idol on the dashboard. And let me say you something about them. They are sincere people in what they are doing. In fact, if you saw someone with maybe a mark on their head, it meant that they had been to the temple that day. And they had spent hours worshiping a God who can never hear them. A God who can never save them. A God that is dead. A God that is something they've imagined into their mind. And I thought to myself, those people need the truth. And they are deceived and blinded. And you know something? It made me once again remind me that all of the material things on earth are going to cease one day. They have no eternal value. But that which we are doing for the cause of Christ, that has eternal reward. Number two, not only do we see our priority, this is the priority God has given to us, but number two, we see our purpose. Our purpose. Now, brethren, we should all have the purpose right. Now let's go back. You need to go back to 3 John, if you would please, because I want you to see something in verse number 7. Now our priority is getting the gospel. Now you say, well, Pastor, what does this mean for me? Preacher, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a teacher. What does this mean for me? I'll tell you what it means for you. It means for you and me that every day we live, we ought to cooperate with the Holy Spirit who is seeking the lost. That means we ought to live lives of purity and honesty and integrity because the Holy Spirit wants to use us. Do you know, I want you to think about this just for a minute. Do you know that God chooses to do His work in the world through people? Do you know that God used a person to get the gospel to you? You say, well, preacher, I read a tract. Well, someone had to print the tract. Someone had to pass out the tract. You say, no, preacher, I was reading the Bible. Well, someone had to print the Bible. Someone had to give you a copy of God's Word. God uses people. In fact, God only uses people. I mean, listen, God could use the animals and the rocks could cry out if we do not praise Him. But God has chosen to use people. And I'm just going to tell you this. Every one of us should desire in our heart to be used of God. God, use me. Lord, I want to be an instrument, a tool in Your hand that You can use me. And God wants to use every one of us here today. Not just the pastor, not just the staff, not just the deacons, not just the Christian school teachers. God wants to use us all. And but what is our purpose behind God using us? Look what it says in 3 John, verse number 7. Because that for His name's sake, they went forth. Now that is so important for us to remember. Brethren, we should all remember that if it is not done for His name's sake, it is wood, hay, and stubble. It must be done for His name's sake. Self gets often in the way of what God wants to do. In fact, look in our passage here, because in 3 John, it gives us two different people. And can I tell you something? You will find these people in every church. You will. Here they are. Look what it goes on to say in verse number 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Do you know that often you will find Diotrephes? He is still alive and well. And can I tell you something about Diotrephes? He wants the preeminence. Now, brethren, can I tell you something? The Bible teaches that in all things, Jesus is to have the preeminence. He's to be the one and only. We are worshiping Him. We are serving Him. We are glorifying Him. We are singing about Him. We are following Jesus. It is all about Jesus Christ. But so often in churches and even in mission agencies, and you know what? I've been told, missionaries have told me, do you know what their number one problem on the mission field is? Other missionaries. Not the natives, not the lost, it's other missionaries. Because can I tell you why? Often they're very selfish. Often they want the preeminence. They want the glory. They want to be acknowledged. And by the way, if you come to church and nobody acknowledges you, can I tell you something? That's okay, because we're all about acknowledging Jesus here. We're all about lifting up Jesus. We're about glorifying Jesus. But Diotrephes is everywhere. And brethren, you will either be a Diotrephes or you will be a Demetrius in church. Because Diotrephes wants the respect. He wants the acknowledgement. He wants to be, in a sense, worshipped. By the way, some people have gotten really upset at me because I haven't given them the worship that they think they deserve to have. And you know something? Sometimes it's that very much way. They want to be adored. They want to be loved. Well, brethren, we're supposed to adore and love Jesus Christ. Now, yes, we are to love one another. In fact, the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have to one another. But brethren, if we are going to love one another, it's because we have fallen in love with Jesus Christ. And we are loving Him together. We are worshiping Him together. Listen, the purpose is for His name's sake. It is that Jesus may be glorified. I got to preach in India, and I know I keep talking about it, but you know, it's in my heart. And I'll never forget, we took a picture with all of the pastors. I'll show it to you. There are certain things I cannot put online just because of the sensitivity-ness of, you know, the India there. And obviously they have government oppression. But I remember those pastors. And we took a picture with them. And often those pastors would come up to me. And I mean, many of them had traveled 4 days by train to get there. Very poor men. They would come up to me and they would say, Pastor, take a snap. And I'm like, what are we snapping here, all right? But that meant take a picture. And boy, you know, and there in India, they have like different customs and things like that. Often when I would go to shake their hand, they would want to hold my hand. And you know, that's a little different, you know. But it was not inappropriate. It was just out of love, out of care. And I wish you could have seen their countenance. I wish you could have seen the love that they had for Jesus. They are suffering like none of us have ever suffered. They are they are serving and worshiping. But can I tell you something? When I got there, man, we had fellowship together because I love Jesus and they love Jesus. And what they're doing it for His name's sake. And I'm trying to do it for His name's sake. And brethren, let us all come to this point that we say, hey, Diotrephes, listen, forget the preeminence among the brethren. Forget the honor. Forget the accolades that we think that we deserve to have. It is all for His name's sake. It is to glorify Him. And we go on here when we look at this other man. The verse number 12 says, Demetrius hath good report of all men. And look at this. And of the truth itself. Demetrius was a man who did not love himself, he loved the truth. Do you love the truth? Well, we are to be fellow helpers of the truth. Listen, you don't really love the truth if you're not willing to be a fellow helper of the truth. If you're not willing to tell others of the truth of Jesus Christ, listen, we ought to be people who are fellow helpers. We say to God, Lord, just let me have a part. You know, I have prayed that often to God. You know, I've prayed that when it comes to revival. I still believe that God can bring revival to America. I believe that. And I refuse not to believe it because God is able to do all things. And I still believe God is able to bring a great revival. And it has been years since America has experienced another revival. But brother, I believe God is able. And often I have prayed, God, I just want to have a part in what you are doing. Well, brethren, as a church, you can have a part in what God is doing. And it's called faith promise giving. As we give of our means to get missionaries to the field. Listen, our church for years, I thank the Lord, when I came here, we started faith promise giving. And for years, we keep taking on missionaries and more missionaries. One day, I remember praying, and I said, God, I just want to keep taking on missionaries. And, you know, human reasoning says, well, we're going to come to a limit. But not if we do not limit God. Let's not limit God. Let's be a fellow helper to the truth. Let us say, God, use me to be a part and for His purpose, for His name's sake. Brethren, in order for missionaries to go around the world and to preach the gospel to every creature, there must be people in local churches that are sending them forth financially. We are supporting them. In a sense, we are holding the ropes per se. We are providing a means for them to go and take the gospel. And guess what? We get to have a part in everything they do for Jesus Christ. In fact, do you know something? Tonight, Calvin Hauser will be here. We support him. We've supported him for many years. It's been a long time since Brother Hauser's been here. And he is doing an amazing work in the Philippines. I mean, it's unbelievable. In fact, he has started going into India a little bit. With trips and things like that. But guess what? All of us who give to Faith Promise Giving, we have a part in what God is doing in the Philippines. We have a part. Guess what? We have a part in India because we're giving. We have a part in all kinds of different places and China and Africa. We are having a part. We get to be a part of what God is doing for His name's sake. In fact, do you know that when I give my faith promise giving every week, I am participating in preaching the gospel around the world. What an opportunity. By the way, you know, we talked today about investments, and I don't ask me about investments, all right? I'm not good about that. But investments has to do with return, does it not? It has to do with, I'm going to invest this money, and I'm hoping to get a good return. Well, brethren, can I tell you what the best return you can ever get is given to faith promise giving. Because you are going to reap eternal reward. In fact, you know that faith promise, it's this kind of giving is so simple because everybody can have a part. No matter if you are rich or poor, no matter what place you are in life, everybody can have a part. In fact, parents, I would encourage you to help your children have a part. When my children were very little, they would work and do things around the house. I mean, they couldn't go work at a job per se, but we gave them little things to do around the house so they could earn money so that they could give like a dollar to Faith Promise Giving. You say, well, come on, preacher, a dollar. I mean, what's that going to do? Folks, God can take anything and bless it. And He can multiply it. If He can take the boy with those little few fishes and loaves of bread and feed thousands of people, God doesn't necessarily need our money, but He does need our obedience to Him. And we get to work with God. We get to serve with Him. It is for His name's sake. In fact, God expects us all to have give something, to have a part. In fact, the secret of faith promise giving is that we all get involved. Listen, let us all be involved. But if you were to say, well, Pastor, I just don't have enough money. then faith, promise, giving, we're trusting God to give us the money to give. We're trusting God. We're believing God. Cannot God open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? Yes, He can. Can God not multiply what you have? Brethren, God can do more with what you think you have than you could ever do by keeping it. Oh, may God help us. We see our purpose. We see our priority. But number three, the last thing, we see our provision. Now, let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Notice this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What is the provision? And I want you to remember something. Inflation has hit our country like maybe it has never hit in many, many years. I mean, contrary to what some people say, America is in a tough place. But I want you to remember this statement. God does not work on our economy. God doesn't look at America and say, boy, they've got inflation, so I just don't think I can do much with them. No. Folks, God does not work on our economy. What does God own? He owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Listen, God is able to bless beyond what we could ever imagine. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's begin in verse number 6. The Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And let's stop before I read on. Very soon, farmers are going to be planting their fields. But let's say that they say, boy, this seed is pretty expensive, and I'm just going to put just a few seed in the ground. Well, guess what? You sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. You give a little, you will reap a little. But if you sow bountifully, God promised, there is a law and a principle and a promise that you will reap bountifully. You know, we talk about the principle of sowing and reaping, but that's not just for sin, that's also for service. Yes, we will reap what we sow sinfully. The Bible says you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. But brethren, if you sow spiritually, you will reap spiritually. You will be blessed. And the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Let's read on here. We come to verse number 7. Every man, that's very important. That means you and me. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able, there's the provision, to make all grace abound toward you, that ye all, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Brethren, this is the sufficiency. God is able. It did not say that the United States government is able or that the stock market is able. It said God is able. Do you know the provision for what we give? God is able. You know what we ought to pray this year? Now, we're coming up on our Faith Promise Missions Conference, and on Wednesday night, all right, a week from this Wednesday, we're going to sign our commitment cards once again. I don't know what you give. You don't put your name on that, but you purpose by what God has put in your heart on what He wants you to give to Faith Promise Giving. Folks, let God bless you. Let God meet the need. But God is able. God is able to provide. He is able to supply you what you have need of. That's our provision. And brethren, the Christian life is a life of faith. It is a life of faith. You know, we so much want to live by sight. I want to see it. Lord, if I see a raise, then I'm going to give more. No. Can I tell you what we are to be doing? We are to give by faith. Brethren, God's promises do not depend upon the economy or upon the prosperity of a company. They are wholly dependent upon His unlimited resources. I mean, God's able. And He is able. Now, brethren, can I tell you something? God wants us to give and give out of a cheerful heart. I think many people say, well, Pastor, I would love to give to the work of God. Well, folks, the promise of God is if you will purpose in your heart to give, God will give you what you need and above that so that you can have a part in the work of God. In fact, in essence, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, would you go back to verse number 5? I want you to notice something here. You're there in chapter 9. Go back to chapter 8. It says, and look what it says. Well, let's just begin in verse number 1. Let's just start there. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction. Now, notice that. They're under heavy persecution. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They are poor and persecuted, and yet what do? They give. Look in verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did. Not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, how could these people give such graciously? Can I tell you why? Because first they gave their own selves to the Lord. Brethren, that's where it begins. It begins by us giving ourselves to the Lord. By the way, if you're not surrendered to the Lord, then you will not be a part of faith promise giving. Because to you, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. But when we give ourselves to the Lord and we surrender to the cause of Jesus Christ, we say, God, my life is yours. I want to be used of you. I want to cooperate with the Spirit of God and what you are doing. Listen, are you that vessel to the Lord that says, God, use me? When I was a kid in school, when I was very young, I was kind of the smallest kid. And I remember sometimes they would pick teams. You ever know playground where they pick teams for basketball or dodgeball or what? I didn't care what it was. Man, I was standing there and got all people lined up. They choose two captains and, you know, you're standing there thinking, man, pick me. Pick me. Please pick me. And I remember one time as a little kid, I was saying, pick me. I want to play. Well, folks, where are God's people that stand before the Lord and say, God, use me. Lord, pick me. And use me for your work. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. Brethren, we have a message to tell. Every Christian has a message. And we declare our message in word and deed. And we are on this earth here to be fellow helpers to the truth. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a fellow helper to the truth? Are you telling people about Jesus Christ? Are you carrying gospel tracts to share with other people? And are you giving to what is at the very heart of God? I believe the thing that is closest to the heart of God is for us to reach those who have never heard. When I was there in India, of course, Worldview Ministries, that's our missionary, Brother Bill Fennell, he's a part of that group. And can I tell you what they do? They take the gospel into foreign fields and lands, but their main purpose is getting God's word in people's languages. In fact, they told me a story a few years ago that they said was probably the best missions trip they've ever had. They were in a certain part of Uganda that had never seen the Bible in their language, never. And when Mr. Fielder and Brother Bill Fennell were talking to me, they began to cry because they said there was nothing like it when we brought with us. It took 11 years to translate the New Testament into their language of those Ugandan people. And he said, when we came to that church service, now think about it, they have never held a copy of the Bible in their hands. They don't have it. The pastor has a copy and he preaches God's word, but he knows English. Those people do not know English and he is preaching. But when those people got the Bible, they began to sing and began to cry and began to weep that they had God's word in their hand. But brethren, can I tell you how that took place? It took place with the giving of God's people. How many? There are thousands of unreached people around the world today that have never read one portion of God's Word because they don't have it in their language. Can I tell you something? That's why we are fellow helpers to the truth. They need the truth. Listen, where would you be this morning without the precious Word of God? You would be lost. You would be hell bound. You would be deceived. Listen, aren't you thankful to have God's Word that we have? Amen. Brethren, let us be fellow helpers to the truth. And you say, well, Pastor, what does this message mean for me? This means this. Brethren, you have no greater treasure on earth than the precious Word of God. Are you a fellow helper to the truth? Are you giving to the Lord's work? And are you giving it out? Are you telling others? You say, well, Pastor, I just don't have that boldness. Well, that's where you cooperate with God. And God, the Holy Spirit, gives you that boldness. He enables you to do what you cannot do in your own strength. And brethren, today, I just want to be, Lord, I want to be a fellow helper to the truth. Lord, let me be a part. May God help us this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I could preach on many things today, but I believe God put this on my heart. How many would be honest this morning and say, Pastor, God has dealt with me in conviction that I am failing in some area of being a fellow helper to the truth? It might be your area of witnessing or giving, but you say, Pastor, God has dealt with me. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. Amen. All over. Well, brethren, you have the truth. Are you going to just hide the truth? God has called us to be fellow helpers to the truth. You know people, and God brings you in contact with people that other people will never know. You have the truth. Be a fellow helper. Listen, God will help you as you obey Him. He'll help you. He'll give you what you need so that you can give up and be a part of the Lord's work. Let's let God have His way. Let's stand together, would you please? And I want to have a word of prayer. And then let's sing together. And let's let God have His way today. Father, I love You. I thank You for the truth today. And Lord, I pray that You will help us as individuals, that we choose to be fellow helpers of the truth. Lord, deliver us from the spirit of Diotrephes, who just wants the preeminence. May we be a Demetrius who loves the truth and has a good report of the truth. Lord, may we choose to be that. And I pray You'd work in our hearts today. Lord, whatever You spoke to us about, if it's a matter of giving or a matter of going, I pray that we would say yes and respond, and we would give ourselves to You first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymns, if you would, please, and we'll go to hymn number 611, Take My Life and Let It Be. That's where it starts. Today, many of you ought to come to this altar and find a place and surrender and give your life to the Lord. Obey Him. Let's sing it together. Josh leads us, hymn number 611. Sometimes we hear a message, boy, that was great. But then we just kind of go past it, don't we? You ever done that? Someone ever asked you 2 hours later what the preacher preached on? You just can't remember it, you know? Well, the devil wants to rob this. Whatever God's put in your heart, nail it down and just commit to it by God's grace. And let me encourage you. We have the board out there. Sign up for a time slot to pray. And let's pray together. If you want to turn in a prayer card, that'd be great. And then let's pray this week as God prepares our heart for what we're going to receive from these missionaries. We're going to hear lots of burdens. It's going to be a great time. Let's be faithful to the Lord and let God have His way. I want to be a fellow helper of the truth. I want to just say, Lord, pick me. And I tell you, God will use you if you'll let Him use you. Well, Josh, would you come and just close this word of prayer? My wife and I would like to greet you on the way out today. Thank you so much for your faithfulness.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be here and the freedoms you give us in this country to gather together and to hear from your word, Lord. I thank you for Pastor and the message that he delivered. I just pray that it would work in the hearts and minds of us throughout this week. Give us a good afternoon and safe travels back this evening. And in your name, amen.